Hey there, I'm Emily Kaplan. Yes, you're probably wondering what I'm doing from out of my usual spot, dodging pucks and grabbing cliches ringside at NHL games. Don't worry, that's not going anywhere. But you are going to be hearing different voices hosting ESPN Daily in the coming weeks, and I'm one of them. I'll be with you the rest of the week, helping this podcast do what it's always done, tell the best sports stories in audio day in and day out. Thanks for listening. Brian Windhorst, here we are on the cusp of the NBA playoffs, beginning with a play-in round tonight. And what it means is that from now until late June, we will have high-stakes basketball essentially every single night. What's the life of Brian Windhorst going to be like the next 2 months?
Well, you like prepare. You like say, okay, I have to get clothes ready, get toiletries armed, say your goodbyes to your family. Because I live in a non-NBA city, so there's no home games for me. But that's me. For the NBA fan, you probably have 8 to 9 weeks of a lot of drama. And this year, there's a lot of teams that are hugely invested in hitting the Grand Slam this season. I mean, every team, to a certain extent, has a lot, you know, on the line when you get into a postseason setting. But there's not enough success to go around just by pure mathematics. There must be failures and potential fallout that comes along with that. And that, as you know, is one thing that people love about the NBA, not just the high-level play on the court, but the drama that comes with the transaction season that comes right on the heels. And then all through that, right in the middle of the playoffs, we have arguably the most consequential draft lottery in 20 years. So we're ready to go when the NFL hands off the baton after its draft takes place. We are ready to grab the baton for the sports world for about 10 weeks of dominating American sports conversation.
All right. That's a perfect thing to say to an NHL reporter. I do appreciate that. I'm a sucker for this, though, because I'm about to become a road warrior, too. So in these 2 months, how many nights are you going to be at home? And you talked about toiletries, though that's the one that you just, like, cannot live without on the road.
You know, the big thing for me is laundry.
Yep. Pray that there's a wash and fold somewhere.
See, that's the thing. Like, ESPN will obviously pay to have your laundry done.
Really?
But it's obscenely expensive, and sometimes they can't turn it around fast enough. So really, I want to be able to either have a wash and fold, but you only really get in a handful of cities. And so, like, I sometimes plan my hotel stays around places where I know I can have laundry done, because you got to be able to, you know, laundry management and suitcase management are two of the most important things. When I say suitcase management, managing how that stuff stays packed and how it unpacks and repacks, because you potentially could be on the road for 18 to 20 days between being able to go home.
This is the real load management.
That's right, exactly.
Sports' biggest soap opera is entering its final stretch tonight, as the NBA postseason gets going with the play-in round. For more than two straight months, we're going to have high-stakes basketball front and center virtually every night. So today, we turn to our guy, Brian Windhorst, to tell us what to expect as the NBA playoffs kick into gear. I'm Emily Kaplan. It's Tuesday, April 11th. This is ESPN Daily.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
All right, well, it all begins with a play-in round, and four teams are battling it down to lock down those final two seeds in each conference. So can you just give us a quick primer of how this is all going to go down?
Well, we have some incredible drama coming right out of the gates for the Western Conference play-in game between the Wolves and the Lakers. So the Lakers were kind of a big loser. The Warriors, Clippers, and Lakers all were kind of tied coming down the stretch. One of them was going to draw the Suns in the first round. One of them was going to draw the unheralded and inexperienced Sacramento Kings. And one of them was going to have to go into the play-in. And the Lakers kind of came up snake eyes because they lost a huge game to the Clippers last week. But they draw the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are in the midst of a moderate crisis within their team. Because on Sunday, the player that they traded four first-round picks and a bunch of other young players for in the offseason, one of the most stunning trades in NBA history, Rudy Gobert, punched one of their team leaders, Kyle Anderson, in the middle of a game that was vitally important for playoff seeding.
And we had a scuffle on the Timberwolves bench. Anderson and Rudy Gobert, that's just something you don't see every day.
Gobert was sent home in the middle of this game. And then a few minutes later, one of his teammates, Jaden McDaniels, who's one of their best perimeter defenders in the league and a player vitally important against a team like the Lakers with a huge, strong perimeter offensive force like LeBron James, punched the tunnel on his way off the court at halftime and broke his right hand. And he will not play for the Timberwolves, even if they reach the NBA Finals. I'm not sure he's going to play for the Timberwolves because he broke his hand. And so their reward is that they have to get on a plane on Monday and they have to get themselves together and go play LeBron James and Anthony Davis. So right there out of the gate, that is some drama in the play-in tournament.
Right, and we got word on Monday that Gobert was suspended for the play-in game tonight. But can I go back to that game on Sunday? Like, what's going on here? How do we get to a point where one player is punching a teammate and then another teammate punches a wall?
It's not good. It's not good. It's a pretty ridiculous set of circumstances. If only one of those things happened, each one of those would be, you know, exactly what you do not want to have right before the start of the playoffs, and especially in a one-and-done situation where you have to go on the road and everybody's got to band together. Both of them happened, and both of them happened within a few minutes of each other, and both of them showed extreme immaturity as you go into a situation where you need maturity. And, you know, the one thing that they had is Karl Towns, who has missed most of the season with a calf injury. He had a brilliant second half, basically to save the victory for the Wolves and get them into the eighth seed, because whoever won that game got to go into the 7-8 play-in game. So you need one win over two games to make the playoffs. And the loser was relegated to ninth in the play-in tournament and would have to win two games to get in. And it's obviously a massive difference, especially when you figure in that you have to travel for the next few days. So in a very important game, Karl Towns had a huge second half despite all of the drama in the first half. And then Anthony Edwards, who was really the hope of the Wolves franchise, that he is at the beginning of a run here that will take him into games that are much more meaningful than the play-in game, made a couple of absolutely jaw-dropping, brilliant plays down the stretch, which got them a win. So they had this sort of bittersweet moment that they got this win with these brilliant plays from their star players, but yet had so much team drama to sort of deal with as they collect themselves before taking a 3.5-hour flight to LA within 12 hours.
Yeah, and so then that 3.5-hour flight to go play the Lakers, and, you know, the Lakers are the dramatic team all year, right? Like, the team that started 2-10, they end up winning 11 of 13. But I feel like the story with the Lakers is always their team goes as the health of AD and LeBron goes, and they're coming into this play-in game with minimal rest. So how do you think that's going to play out?
Yeah, so their big advantage is that they're home.
Sure.
They don't have to travel. And so that was a big thing where they did have to get a couple of wins over the weekend. And the Lakers, there's sort of two ways to look at them. Yes, they're a team that barely crawled over 500. Yes, they're a team that's basically been in the play-in or even out of the play-in for, you know, most of the last 5 months. But then there's the other way to look at them, which is that since they traded Russell Westbrook at the trade deadline, they're 17-8. They're one of the top three defensive teams in the league in that span. And so in a Western Conference this year where, you know, being 8 or 9 games over 500 would have put them in fourth or fifth place, the fact that they were able to do that over the last 6 or 7 weeks indicates that this is a better team than their seeding says. And to that point, about 10 days ago, they went into Minnesota. Anthony Davis had 38 points and 17 rebounds and was awesome in beating the Wolves on their home floor. And that win is the reason why they have this game at home. And they'll know that if they are able to get the win on Tuesday night, they will be able to rest several extra days before they will get to play the Memphis Grizzlies in the first round of the playoffs, a team that is dealing with injury issues, especially to their big men. And that's where Anthony Davis would come in and potentially have an edge there. So the Lakers, despite not exactly having the regular season they wanted, still have their menu in front of them and still have some chances here to do some damage.
All right, let's talk about the other play-in, the 9-10 matchup. It's Pelicans and Thunder, two younger teams trying to assert themselves. And forgive me if you've heard this before, but the Pelicans are going to be without their star, Zion Williamson. He's still working his way back from a hamstring injury. And meanwhile, the Thunder are kind of playing with house money, I feel, because they're doing this all without their number two overall pick, Chet Holmgren, who has been out all season. So how do you feel about this matchup?
Well, this is definitely a potentially a team you're going to be seeing into the future. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to be in one of the spaces on my MVP ballot. He is a complete difference-making superstar player. He has a chance to be on MVP ballots, not in the first line, but on one of the lines. He has a potential chance to win the Most Improved Player Award, and he's got a good chance to be on the All-NBA team. And that just says a lot about his impact that he has. And it's a very young team. They only have a couple of players who have a cup of coffee in the playoffs in their careers. So even if this is a one-game shot, it's going to be a great learning experience for them. I will tell you that they very much impressed me in a game this year in Los Angeles against the Lakers the night that LeBron broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's scoring record. They were pretty far back in the standings at that time, and the atmosphere in that arena that night was extremely charged. It was almost like a playoff game, and the Thunder completely rose to the occasion. So I'm very excited to see how they handle this challenge. They get a Pelicans team that was one game out of first place in the Western Conference on January 1st. And the injuries to Zion Williamson and Brandon Ingram, Zion played 29 games this year. Brandon Ingram only played 45. Another one of their key role players, Jose Alvarado, has been out with an injury, although they're hoping if they advance further into the postseason that he might be able to come back. But they've just been really banged up. And they're a team that, on one hand, you could say it's impressive that they got to the 9th seed. On the other hand, you could say that it's been very disappointing overall for them this season. The one thing I'll point out, they've been here before. Emily, last year, they were also the 9th seed, won 2 games to get into the playoffs as the play-in team, and then played the Phoenix Suns, the number 1 seed, extremely tough over 6 games, and in fact, exposed some weaknesses that ended up helping the Dallas Mavericks upset the Suns, I feel, in the second round. So they are in the 9th seed, and Zion won't be coming back, but they still feel like they've got a shot here, and they get to have the Thunder come to their building. So I think they probably feel like they'll get another bite, potentially, maybe even to the Timberwolves, who they just had the close loss to on Sunday.
So those are the play-in games. Teams are playing for the right to face the likes of Denver and Memphis, who are the top seeds. We also have the Warriors, the Clippers, the Suns, and somehow the Sacramento Kings being their first postseason appearance since 2006. We'll have time to break this all down later, but big picture, Brian, what strikes you about the rest of the field?
The interesting thing here is that we have a changing of the guard at the top. The Denver Nuggets have the number 1 seed for the first time in the history of the franchise. The Grizzlies are the 2 seed, but are young and injured. And so while they've have a little bit more of a resume, this group has not been able to win multiple playoff rounds. And then in the 3 seed, as you mentioned, the Sacramento Kings, first time they've been to the playoffs in 17 years. Very little playoff experience on that roster. I'm not sure how they're going to perform. And while they are the best offensive team in the league, they are a bottom five defensive team. And historically, if you're a weak defensive team, you have a difficulty advancing far in the postseason. So you see in this West, these teams that we normally would not get that excited about, teams in fourth, fifth, sixth, in fourth place is the Phoenix Suns, who are undefeated when Kevin Durant has played with them. Granted, it has only been eight games, but definitely have shown some teeth when Durant has been on the floor with them. The LA Clippers, who have championship players on their roster and are probably the deepest team in the league, in fifth spot, even though they are going to be missing Paul George most likely for this first round series. They get a terrible draw where they've earned the fifth spot but have to play a team like the Suns, who is much better than their record probably indicates. And then on the sixth seed are the defending champ, Golden State Warriors, who may have drawn the most remarkable sixth seed in the history of the NBA. And I say that with all seriousness because they were one of the worst teams in the league on the road this year, had really no business getting this good of a draw, but they get a Kings team that is inexperienced and they don't have to get on a plane. They can drive to their first round games and they're on the opposite side of the bracket as the Suns and the team in the Nuggets, who have pretty much been the one seed for the last 4 months. Obviously, the Warriors would be much better off if they had been the number one seed throughout the entire season and had all these home court series as they did last year. But dating back to the 2014 season, the Warriors have won at least one road playoff game in every single series they've played. As you may know, they've reached the finals six times in that span. It's a lot of series. And so it's a very tall order to ask a team to repeat as champs, to win four series without having home court in any of them. But this is a team that has all of its roster together, including getting Andrew Wiggins back from being out for 6 weeks with a personal issue, and Gary Payton, who just returned from injury. So they basically have their top eight players that they had last year when they won the title back to try to do it again.
All right, coming up, we set our sights on the Eastern Conference.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo, another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Brian, so we've got the West covered. Let's turn our attention to the East. You've got the Heat hosting the Hawks and the Raptors hosting the Bulls in the play-in round, and then the Bucks, Celtics, and 76ers atop the bracket. So how is all of this going to play out?
Yeah, so, you know, the three best teams in the NBA, in my opinion, and I don't even think it's super debatable, are in the Eastern Conference. Milwaukee, Boston, and Philadelphia. They've really been impressive at different times throughout the season, and it's really kind of a bad year to be a good team in the East. You know, over the last 20 years, this has been the case where maybe the top three or four teams in the league have been in the Western Conference. And any one of these teams of this same quality, if this was 2006 or 2018, might have been able to storm through. But they're going to have to really fight. And even the team that's in fourth place, the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, their numbers are extremely impressive. They're a top seven offensive team and the number one defensive team in the league. That's the kind of resume that you see from teams that reach the finals. And here they are, a 50-win team that all has to settle for the fourth seed. So it's going to potentially be several, you know, very fierce rounds in the Eastern Conference. And Philadelphia has a potentially very difficult draw where they would have to, you know, beat Boston and Milwaukee just to get to the finals. The Boston Celtics potentially would have to play the Miami Heat, who are in the play-in game against the Atlanta Hawks for the seventh seed. They'll get to host that game and will be favored. even though the Heat have had a setback of a season, the Heat took the Celtics to 7 games in the conference finals last year and have shown a lot of success against them in the regular season. So, you know, for the first time in a long time, I really think that the power balance is in the East. And I don't want to leave out the New York Knicks, who are in the 5 seed. The Knicks beat the Cleveland Cavaliers, who they're going to play 3 out of 4 times this season. Their bench dominated the Cavs bench in both of the times they've played since the new year. And, you know, historically, if you look at the number 4 seed versus the number 5 seed in the 22 years or so since they started playing 7-game series in the first round, it's just slightly better than 50-50. It's 58%, 42% that the 4 seed has won over the 5 seed. So even though the West has incredible star power, the Eastern Conference potentially is going to be where the rubber meets the road in this postseason. You won't maybe have to stay up quite as late to see some of the best basketball as you may have had to get used to doing in the West.
Okay, covered a lot there. Let's do one storyline factoring into the play-in round in the East, and it's Trae Young and the Hawks, a team that's had drama following around them all year long. I'm just curious, what's at stake here for Atlanta and their star guard?
Well, Atlanta made a lot of interesting moves during the season, replacing their general manager and replacing their coach. It is not something that you see very often happen mid-year, and it is also very unusual that a team that would do both of those things would have a chance to make the playoffs. There is a question about whether Trae Young meshes with this set of teammates and has been able to mesh with coaches, because his last two coaches, he doesn't seem to have had a very good relationship with. The thing about Trae Young is we've seen him be brilliant in the playoffs in his career. In his young career, he has pulled off some very impressive moves in the playoffs, upsetting the New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers on the way to the conference finals 2 years ago. And then last year, they were the 9th seed in the play-in and won 2 play-in games. So they've done it before, and he has shown that he's got a flair for the dramatic when the pressure is on the line. So definitely going to be a high-stakes situation and certainly a fascinating opportunity for Trae Young.
All right, Brian, I live in Chicago, so I got to ask you about this Bulls-Raptors matchup. Both teams land in the play-in round after finishing as the 5 and 6 seeds respectively last year in the East. So how do you see either of these teams fitting into the postseason?
Yeah, both teams on the verge of potentially really big changes. Nick Nurse has said some things in the media that make you wonder about whether or not he's going to return, not necessarily by the Raptors' choice, but maybe even by his choice following the season whenever it ends. The Bulls have had an incredibly disappointing season, most of it wrapped around Lonzo Ball, who has had multiple surgeries, and you know, not having Lonzo Ball has pretty much derailed them. They were one of the East's top 4 teams last year, and it makes you wonder, with Lonzo's season next year potentially sidelined as well as he faces a grueling recovery from a 3rd surgery, whether or not the Bulls need to make major structural changes to their team to account for the fact that they don't have a franchise point guard. Also, Nikola Vucevic, who's been one of their best players, their big man, and played all 82 games this season in a year where there wasn't a lot to count on in Chicago. He was there to count on. He's a free agent. And more to the point, the Bulls do not control their destiny with their draft pick. They're right now would be have the 11th pick in the draft. If they get lucky in the lottery, they move up into the top 4. It would be incredible in this draft. But unless they move into the top 4, they owe their first round pick to the Orlando Magic for the trade to get Vucevic several years ago. So they really are under some pressure with some handcuffs on how to improve the team. So I feel like both the Raptors and the Bulls are probably going to look a lot different the next time you see them in the fall. And so that makes this game kind of have a different feel to it than the other play-in games. Whoever wins this is going to get the Milwaukee Bucks, and I do not feel confident that one of these two teams could end up in the 8th seed and give the Bucks a serious problem.
All right, before we let you go, Brian, there's a compelling story that I want to touch on featuring one of the teams on the outside of the play-in tournament, and that's the Dallas Mavericks, because in a game seemingly with playoff implications, they were resting several key players, including Doncic, who only played in the 1st quarter, and of course, Kyrie Irving, who didn't play at all. And now the NBA is investigating the Mavs. So I'm not asking you to point your fingers into the air, but why would the Mavericks do this?
It was a fascinating entire week for the Mavericks. So just to go over it really quickly, on Tuesday, Luka Doncic, you know, number one, said that they really missed Jalen Brunson, a player that the Mavericks kind of botched his free agency and allowed him to leave for the New York Knicks.
How much have you guys missed Brunson?
A lot. I mean, you know, amazing guy, amazing player, you know, for sure.
And also, Luka said on Tuesday, he doesn't believe in tanking. There was some belief, and it turned out to be true, that the Mavericks were going to maybe shut down to protect their draft pick, not seeing a way forward as getting in as the 10th seed and trying to win through the play-in tournament, and they were going to try to keep their draft pick, and Luka shot that down.
I'm playing tomorrow. You know, when there's still chance, I'm going to play. So that's not going to happen yet.
Wednesday, the owner, Mark Cuban, felt the need to address the media after what Luka said to defend their handling of the Jalen Brunson contract situation. It really doesn't matter what the he said, she said of it. They lost him for nothing. And then in what was a really important set of comments, Mark Cuban said that they have to earn Luka Doncic's loyalty, that the player just doesn't say he's going to be with an organization for 17 or 18 years or 20 years like Dirk Nowitzki was there, that they've got to earn it. And then 2 days later, in a must-win game to keep themselves in the play-in race. Oh, and by the way, I should just point out, they're playing the Bulls. The Bulls were tied with them in the draft order. And this is important because if the Mavericks finished with the 10th pick, you know, their record was bad enough that they were assured the 10th pick, they would keep their draft pick. If the Mavericks fell to the 11th pick or higher, the pick would convey to the New York Knicks for what's become a failed trade for Kristaps Porzingis, who's since left the organization. The team that was tied with them in 10th was Chicago Bulls. And the Mavericks made a value judgment to basically not try to win the game. Problem was, we had just had Luka Doncic say he doesn't believe in that, and that Mark Cuban say we have to earn his respect. And so it looked terrible. And then Jason Kidd, the coach, came in to face the media to answer questions about this and said this was his boss's decision.
It's not always, you know, easy to make decisions, but these are decisions that are made from my bosses, and we gotta, you know, follow them, and we trust Cuban and Nico are going to, you know, put the pieces together to put us in a position to win a championship.
He didn't use the word tank, but everybody knew. And so after hearing that, the NBA announced that they were opening up an investigation into this and could potentially fine the Mavericks up to seven figures for basically saying what the quiet part out loud.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the league handles this. Brian, this was awesome. I wish you will get the opportunity to cover more NBA drama this summer. I wish you well in your travels, but what I really wish you, Brian, is expedited a laundry service.
Thank you, Emily. Have a great week.
I'm Emily Kaplan. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.